Four state primaries this week here on the Emerson College Polling Weekly Podcast, and joined by, per usual, Emerson pollster Professor Spencer Kimball. What are we looking at this week, Spence?
Well, we're looking at really some exciting races, and they're really going to have a influence in 6 months when we get to the general election. So let's just jump right into, I think, Indiana, because that's probably the most exciting race that we're going to have on Tuesday. So out in Indiana, we have a U.S. Senate race against the incumbent Joe Donnelly, and this is a seat that the Republicans are looking to take. And they have three candidates running. You have a Representative Todd Rokita, Luke Messer, and a state rep business person, Mike Braun. And this race has really turned nasty. They call him Lying Ted, Missing Messer, Tax Hike Mike. I mean, it's like the Trump campaign back in Indiana fighting each other. A lot of dynamics in this race. Rokita claims to have the Trump-Pence endorsement from the 2016 Indiana team, but it's very confusing compared with like an actual endorsement from the president. Messer, he's been out of the district back in D.C., very similar to an issue that happened in 2016 out there with the Democratic Senate candidate Evan Baugh, he was out of the district, and it was kind of seen as a carpetbagger of sense. And then Tax Hike Mike was just involved in a state tax increase on the fuel tax, and he's getting hammered for supporting that legislation. So we've got these dynamics going off in this race, and because you have Rokita and Messer running, we have two open congressional races. And those are seeing it get heat up right now. In the 4th District, there's a former state rep, Steve Brown and Diego Morales, who used to work for Pence, running down there. There's state rep Jim Baird. So the 4th District is interesting. But in the 6th District, you actually have Mike Pence's brother, Greg Pence, running for his old congressional seat. And he's raised about $900,000. He's been endorsed by Messer. And remember, Rokita is claiming to have been endorsed more like by the Pence organization. So you got all these moving parts down in Indiana, and it will be exciting to see how that place rolls out. I think if we just jump over Ohio, look at West Virginia quickly next, that's Joe Manchin's seat. And again, that's a seat that the Republicans think that they can turn. They've got Evan Jenkins, the establishment person, running. Jenkins, he's out of the 3rd district, which again opens up another congressional race. So you'll have a primary out in the 3rd, which is a very rural part of West Virginia. But then you have Patrick Morrissey running. He's been endorsed by Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, National Review. He's the attorney general. His problem is that he's from New Jersey. Jenkins' problem is that he used to be a Democrat. And then you have this fellow, Don Blankenship, and you may have heard about him in the news. He's the one who went to jail. I think 29 people died on a coal site that he was eventually tried and convicted of negligence. And he served a year in jail, but he's taken this fight against Mitch McConnell. So it's kind of like an internal fight of everybody in West Virginia that doesn't like Mitch McConnell with Don Blankenship. The Democrats like Blankenship because they think he's the easiest opponent for Manchin to beat. But most likely it'll be a Jenkins-Morrissey toss-up. The polling there has been pretty tight so far.
Let's go to some statewide races. John Kasich, his term's up. He's already playing a lot of golf down on the west coast of Florida. And going back to my Emerson undergrad days, happy 2008, do I see the name Dennis Kucinich floating around here, Spence?
You actually see Kucinich as a viable candidate for governor. As you said, Kasich is term limited. So Dennis Kucinich has been in this race. He's running on that pro-marijuana platform. We spent the month of March talking about marijuana in these elections. Here's a candidate that's using this, similar to what Cynthia Nixon's doing in New York, as his platform to try to get out the youth vote. It looks like Richard Cordray is going to get the nomination, though, for the Democrats. He's a former Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Might sound familiar. He's been endorsed by Elizabeth Warren. We'll be interested about Cordray's, if he gets the endorsement and if he runs in November, is how well does he do? because an Elizabeth Warren backing in Ohio, if he does well, might suggest that Warren would do well in the state. And obviously 2020 will be on everybody's mind after November 6, if it's not already on our minds. And then on the Republican side, Mike DeWine, who's the attorney general, is probably going to get the nomination over Mary Taylor, the lieutenant governor. Though I've seen Taylor on the campaign trail, looks very strong, but DeWine has a lot of support and endorsements as well in that governor's race. And then we have the Senate race. That's Sherrod Brown. He's, if you remember, he's been an advocate for tariffs. And now that Trump has done these tariffs, it's kind of an interesting place for him to be. But the Republicans have a contested primary there. Jim Renacci, the congressman out of the 16th district, is running against Mike Gibbons, a businessman. Renacci is expected to get the nomination, but that again opens up the 16th district to a primary. And that primary is real interesting between Anthony Gonzalez and Christina Hagan. Gonzalez, a former college football player, he's 33, Cuban immigrant, son of a Cuban immigrant. He's against DACA. Versus Hagan, who some have argued is a career politician, took over her father's seat and has been reelected two or three times since. So they're both fairly young, Gonzalez 33, Hagan 29. And that's going to be an interesting race to keep an eye out for in the 16th. The 12th district is actually a vacant seat, very strange race going on because they'll have a primary and then then they have a special election in early August. So that's just an interesting race to keep an eye out. And then generally in Ohio, got to really watch on the voter turnout. I expect about 2 million. In 2016, we saw about 2 million GOP votes versus 1.2 million Democratic votes in the primaries. And that obviously broke for the for Trump in the general election where he took Ohio by 8 or 9 points. So that's something that we'll be keeping an eye on in all of these races.